Every month get a minister's publication from Indiana Bible College, and Brother Mooney is the president of the college. He's the pastor of one of the largest United Pentecostal churches in America, literally has thousands of people in his church, and he's also the assistant general superintendent of our organization over literally millions of people. And I always look forward to seeing his comments because he has a letter and a comment. And I read it this morning. I got it in the mail yesterday late. And here's what he said. The more our church services lean toward entertainment and our preaching toward philosophy and positive thinking, the weaker we become and the more confused people are. One of the largest churches, one of the greatest leaders, he's preached from this pulpit, he's been a friend of mine for years, he's saying, you know what? We better rely on the power of God instead of the power of entertaining. See, preaching is supposed to arrest your attention and convict you to do something that you wouldn't normally do. And if you just come in here and nothing that is said causes you to want to do more or be more or change, then it's not been effective. You know, we can be entertained. I can make you laugh this morning. But that'll make you feel good for a little while. But if there's some word of God that gets down in your heart and your mind, it'll change your life. And that's the goal of preaching. So if you would you turn to Luke, the 19th chapter, and verse number 10. These words are in red, so you know what that means. Nothing. Because all of the words in the Bible should be read, because every one of them are the mind and the thought of Jesus Christ. Old Testament and New Testament are the thoughts and words of Jesus Christ. So verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which is lost." So here's the whole purpose. Here's the whole purpose for Jesus coming. Then if you could turn to 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. And Paul is saying this, "But if our gospel be hid," well, what's the gospel? Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. If that be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word, your anointing upon it. And God, you're not done with us yet. And God, invest in us this morning your word, that it will trickle down from our head into our heart and cause us to be more like you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That was his mandate. That was his mission. And he talked about it constantly. I wonder if his disciples and those around him were saying, "Don't you have another subject you can talk about? You're always talking about the lost. You're always talking about reaching some of those people that we don't want to be associated with, you know? They're the publicans and they're the sinners. You know, we just want those that are just like-minded, you see." And in Luke 15, he even told a trilogy of stories about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then the lost son. The lost sheep kind of wandered away. I don't know if he just wasn't paying attention to the rest of the flock or even the shepherd. And then the lost coin, well, maybe it wasn't valuable enough and it was just mislaid. But then there was the lost son, the prodigal son, who walked away out of rebellion. All three lost. Jesus did this so people could grasp how eternally important it is to reach that which is lost. The reason you are desperate to find that which is lost is because, well, it's so important to you. You see, if something isn't important to you, who cares? Lost it. You know, how many times have you walked in a parking lot and you saw a penny on the pavement, and perhaps you never even bent down to pick it up? People lost the change and, I'm not going to bend down and pick it up because it wasn't important to them. If you're a parent, you most likely have found yourself in a situation where you lost a child. You just turned around in a department store and before you know it, your two-year-old was gone. And you're wondering, did they just wander away? Did somebody take that child? I mean, all of a sudden, there's this desperation. Can you remember? I can remember having that feeling. Did they just wander off? You start calling, and then you start screaming, and now you start asking strangers. Everybody you know or don't know, did you see my son? Did you see my daughter? And then the feeling when you find them sitting under a rack of clothes, you know, doing their own deal, you know. I didn't think I was lost. I've been there a few times. It's so good for your heart, you know. Glory to God. Or you could be the parent that says, oh, well, I've got other children at home. You know, they got lost. Let them find their way home. You know, let them call a cab. You see, it all comes down to how much do you love that which is lost. Jesus must have loved us a lot in order to come after us with his whole life for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross to save the lost. How much could he have loved us? Last week, I went to pay for something, and I went to get my credit card, and it was gone. I have a certain slot in my wallet that I use this major credit card for just about everything, and what a nice feeling it is when you know that your credit card is gone. Oh, well, whoever took it probably needs it more than me, you know. That's what our feelings are, right? No. I searched. I looked in every pocket of every coat that I have, and I looked in all of the drawers. I looked on my desk. I looked on all of the counters. I traced all my steps for the last 2 years, and you know, nothing. So finally, I thought, I'm going to call the credit card company. So I called the credit card company, and they said, now, do you want us to just put a hold on it for a couple of days to see if it turns up? I said, I've exhausted everything I can do. No, issue me a new credit card. So they issued me a new credit card. I got it the next day because it was important to me. I paid the extra dollars in order to get it, next day service. And then the following day, we took our dog for a walk, and my wife put her hand in her pocket and said, oh, look. I almost lost my wife that day. When our kids were small, you know, that was back when Blockbuster was around and all of that, and we went and rented Swiss Family Robinson. I wonder how many times we've watched it. I can almost repeat all of the lines, you know. And then we rented Robinson Crusoe a few times because they just loved that kind of deal, lost on an island, you know. And when I was a kid, I watched Gilligan's Island over and over again. A lot of your people are going, Gilligan's what? There is a fascination of people being stranded somewhere through no fault of their own, lost in a place where their surroundings are full of danger and uncertainty. And every life is preoccupied every day with two all-consuming thoughts. I have to survive, and I must find a way to escape. Jesus came to rescue and save. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. It is the rescue ship. Let me ask you, how can the world be so preoccupied with finding the lost and then the church isn't? We even have reality TV. Now there's an oxymoron, you know. Reality TV, right, which demonstrates the human fascination with being lost with shows like Lost, Survivor, you know. I guess it's try to outwit each other in order to get off the island or not to be lost. You know what we ought to do? We ought to start our own reality show, real reality. It could be called Let's Win the Lost. And God would even sponsor that show, you know? He'd even promote that show. Amen? Glory, TV won't pick it up, folks. You see, Jesus recognized that the motive for rescuing the lost is simply one thing. Do you love it? Peter, do you love me? Well, you know I love you. Well, what are you doing? Peter, do you love me? Well, how can I prove it? Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. If we can't care about the people around us that are lost, we won't try to rescue them. We'll walk by them. We'll sit next to them. We won't even bring up a conversation concerning God. I've been in so many situations where I literally have walked by a car with someone sitting in it, and God says, talk to them. And I have. And when God sets up the appointment, you know that something is going to happen. Peter was offended by what Jesus asked him in John 21 and 15. So when they had dying, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Barjonas. You know, whenever my mother was angry, she used the whole name, you know. and now he's saying, not only Peter, but Simon Peter, son of Jonas. Lovest thou me more than these? Or speaking about the fish that you've caught, more than your job, more than your house, more than your car, more than your hobbies. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. In other words, Peter, if you love me, you will love those that I have died for. Church, someone is stranded in sin waiting to be rescued by you. Do you love me? Do you love the lost? I know that Brother Mackey will do a better job tonight. See, this irritates us to a certain degree because it puts a responsibility not just to come to church, not just to get the blessings, not just to worship God, but a responsibility that we have. We have a power within us that says, I've got to do something with the information that I have. See, the lost, they're all alone, they have no hope, trapped in desperate situations, but most of them, not lost just on an island, but lost for an eternity. If that would come to us every time we see someone, that person is going to be judged, If you love me, Peter, I'm about to leave this world. Will you feed my lambs? Would you turn to Luke, the 15th chapter? Luke chapter 15, starting in verse number 4, Jesus gives us this story. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. You know what? I'm going to take care of it. You know, I've taught so many Bible studies, and I've seen a lot of people come in through the Bible studies, and at the end of the Bible study, baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, but you still need to put them on your shoulders. You need to keep in touch with them. Hey, can you come over Friday? You see, when you ladies bring a baby home from the hospital, you know, you have the bassinet, you put them in the bassinet and say, hey, the refrigerator's there. If you get cold, there's blankets in the closet. No, you know you have to take care of them until they can take care of themselves. And the lost sheep is exactly the same. Put them on your shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. We're going to have a party. Let's pajunga. Hey, every time somebody comes in or baptized, or their face is up on the screen, somebody ought to get a little excited because we found one of God's lost sheep. Verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy. They're getting excited. Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. The reason Jesus told this story was, here's the facts behind it. A group of religious Pharisees and scribes were upset with Jesus because he always related to the sinner more than to the high priest and the Pharisees and the scribes, the people who identified with religion. How come you're spending time with the sinner and not with me? You see, verse 2 of that chapter says, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and even eats with them. My Lord. Glory to God. I hope you see me out in a restaurant with somebody who's not saved, folks. I hope I see you out in a restaurant someplace with people not saved. You see, the religious of the day had no love for the lost. And we're living in a day where the church doesn't have the love for the lost. They just want to love one another. Glory to God. There are many verses in the Bible comparing humanity to sheep. We are so much like sheep. I lived on a farm. If a sheep fell over, it's called a cast sheep. You know, they couldn't get up by themselves. If you put a sheep on the side, it cannot get up by itself. It has to have a shepherd picking it up. It can't clean itself. I don't want you to turn there, but here, 2 Chronicles 18 and 16, sheep that have no shepherd. Psalms 23 and 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalms 103, we are the sheep of his pasture. Isaiah 40 and 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Isaiah 53 and 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Jeremiah 23 and 1, woe to those who scatter the sheep. Ezekiel 34 and 5, sheep scattereth because of no shepherd. You think you need church? You think you need a pastor? Well, I know enough scripture. I don't need a pastor. I don't have to go to church. Soon you will be separated. Ezekiel 34 and 11, I will search for my sheep and seek them out. That's God talking, folks. Turn to Matthew 9 and 36, please. Matthew 9 and 36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now, you could have a shepherd that doesn't act like a shepherd, who doesn't look after the sheep, keep them in a certain place, allows them to go wherever they want. And soon, those sheep will be lost because there are wolves out there. Satan is like a hungry lion seeking who he can devour. But if you're under the protection of a shepherd, you don't have to worry about that. And then John 10 and 11. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Have you extended your life to somebody else? I know I could do this, but you know what? I need to spend time with. God looks at that. Amen. 1 Peter 2, 25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Sheep have a habit of getting lost and are not able to find their way back by themselves, just like us. Like us, they have to be sought out, found, and brought back. I appreciate praying for people who have left, but it's not enough just to pray for them. It's enough to go get them and say, come with me. By themselves, they can't defend themselves. They can't protect themselves, just like us. We can't do that. I don't want to be out there all by myself. Amen. Sheep seem to always be frightened unless the shepherd is right there. We fear every little problem, every failure. We're worried about other people's opinions. We're worried about death, even though Jesus said, O death, where is your sting? There's something about knowing what the Word of God says and how loving our God is and the provision that He has made for us that even death doesn't fear us like it does the world. But those that are lost don't know that. They don't understand what a loving God that we have. Jesus said that my joy be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than the 99 just persons which need no repentance. That's us. God has more excitement, more joy, more parties in heaven over one person who said, God, I'm sorry, I've come home, I'm going to live for you, and there is rejoicing that goes on heaven. Let me paraphrase, heaven rejoices over one person that is lost and now found more than all of our great services. More than all of the moves of God that we have over the greatest song service that we ever had. Good going, but not like it is with one sinner that repents. Hallelujah. I'm starting to understand what gets our God excited. Don't relegate this to something that was in your past. When you first got the Holy Ghost, got up from the altar, dried your eyes, and said, I got to call my mom. I got to get to my neighbor. Wow, they don't understand how real God is. I got to tell somebody I'm speaking in a language that I have never learned before. That's going to be the most exciting thing that I can do. I don't care if I ever have a position in the church. I just want to grab one more, snatch one more out of the fire and bring them into the Ark of the Covenant. As a pastor shepherd, I recognize that if we don't get to the lost, they're not just lost on an island, but they're lost for eternity. The Pharisees didn't like it when Jesus talked about reaching the sinner. Can't we just have good church? See, churches can become like a sheepfold, a place of comfort, a place that everybody's familiar with everybody else, a place of safety, a place that they can make their requests, a place that other people can reassure them that they love him, and perhaps come to believe that the sum total of the shepherd or pastor's job is to keep the sheep comfortable, meet all of their needs, and protect them from all of the harm. Most of you can attest that I have made you uncomfortable, especially with a message like this. I'm not apologizing. I'm not repenting because of the strong word that comes over this pulpit, because it's for your benefit. Listen, what caused Jesus to go looking for you and me? He had great love and compassion for us long before we ever spoke his name, ever wanted to come to church, ever wanted to pick up the word of God. Like a mother who lost a child in an airport in a crowded store, God is desperate to find somebody who has an open ear, open heart. On the day you seek me with all your heart, that's the day you'll find me. God is going to send somebody to you. And the same compassion that drove him to rescue us still drives him to rescue other people who aren't sitting next to us this morning. His attention is constantly distracted by the cries of children who are still lost in sin, knowing he could fix their problems and get rid of their habits and deliver them from habits and all kinds of things, drugs and alcohol and illicit living. But they have to call out. Somebody has to talk to them that there is another way. There is a deliverer for them. And sheep in the fold may be unhappy with the preoccupation of the lost, like maybe some of you are this morning. Preoccupied. Is that the message again? My wife said to me yesterday, "Boy, you're preaching a lot about soul winning, aren't you? God told us 2 years ago that he wants to bring revival to this church, but we're not ready." It isn't because I'm not ready or Pastor Portman isn't ready, but every one of us have to be soul winners, not just an aquarium of pretty fish. Church, if it seems like I am constantly focusing on reaching the lost to the exclusion of babysitting saved, it's because I have a pastor's heart. I feel obligated. The whole purpose for this church being here is to grab one more person, to take them out of the dilemma, take them off of the island that they're at, rescue them and bring them to the mothership. Lost people matter. They matter to God, and they should matter to us. Next week is our district conference, and we're going to have outstanding speakers and great fellowship. But frankly, if I had an opportunity to teach a Bible study during that time, I'd rather do that. Oh, but you're an ordained minister, and who knows, you might be asked to be on the platform. I am asked to be on the platform. It doesn't matter to me. Take a look at Matthew 10 and 16. Jesus said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Can you imagine how frightened a harmless sheep would be surrounded by hungry wolves? And every time you walk into the workplace, every time you walk into your relative's house, every time you walk in the midst of unbelievers, well, oh no, chances are you're going to get attacked. You see, you have to understand, when we first come into this truth, the enemy uses the thing that will derail you faster than anything else, and that is your loved ones and relatives who completely reject you because of this truth that you have aspired to. When my wife and I came into the church, our kids were just babies, and for 3 years, my in-laws would not have anything to do with us. No calls, no visits, no Christmas, nothing. Her dad said, "I'd rather have you a prostitute than be a part of that church." Why? Because this is truth. It's where Jesus sends us every day, out into the non-believing world to reach those that are lost. Yes, it can be scary. It can be humiliating. It can be rejecting. It will be rejecting, but it is the Great Commission. It's the whole purpose for the church, still here, not raptured. Jesus said, not just to preachers, but to everyone filled with the Holy Ghost. You shall be witnesses. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The last words of Jesus before he was taken up. The last words. You have to be witnesses. Last words are important. Hey, did you find your child yet? Did you find the one that God has directed you to? Maybe sitting under a rack of clothing, not even understanding that they're lost at all. The fact of the matter is, most of us didn't even know we were lost. But I know when I was saved. Hallelujah. Let's do a reality. Let's win the lost. Let's get a burden for them. Let's start teaching Bible studies. All of the information you can. You can know 200 verses, but now you have to put them to use. It's great to shout up here. Wouldn't it be greater if we could shout with somebody we brought into the church? Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God. Amen, amen. We have to mobilize the army. And through it all, we're blessed. we're blessed. Amen. Someone came to deliver a dishwasher on Friday. How many know that dishwashers don't last forever? Amen. And they were installing a dishwasher, and we just made some small talk about things, and I told them I was a pastor, and he said, "Wow, world has really changed, hasn't it? You know, I put great big windows in my house because I wanted to see outside and see what the weather was like. And today, most of the kids only have a window about this big. Everything is the reality of what's in that screen." And he said, "I hate watching sports. I'd rather be bad at sports and do them than to watch somebody else get paid millions of dollars and fumble the ball." Wouldn't you rather be the church? And just sit on a pew and listen to somebody else preach. You're up. It's your turn. The ball is in your hands. Won't you come?